News Talk 11-7 KCBQ.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. Call 1-800-326-0687. 1-800-326-0687. Call now. Call 1-800-326-0687. 1-800-326-0687.
It was a fascinating missionary conference where I heard about a man named Brother Andrew. This was back in the 70s, smuggled Bibles into communist China and communist Russia. And they wanted us to make faith pledges. Do you know what a faith pledge is? That's where you commit to a certain amount of money each month to send into a mission society. And if you don't have the money, you're just trusting God. And your only deal is if God gives it to you, you'll give it to them. Well, I didn't have a lot of money in those days, folks. And they said, do you have $500 a month worth of faith? Below the 500 was $100 a month. Below that was 50. Then it went 20, 10. And I said, we're getting closer. On the bottom, it said $2 a month. That's all the faith I have, $2 a month. I checked it. And a few days later, found out I was getting a 5 cent per hour raise at a job that I only worked a couple of hours a day at, which came to just a little more than $2 a month. So for a whole year, I made a $2 check out to Brother Andrew. Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
News Talk 1170, KCBQ.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't see enough compassion and tolerance coming from Christians. Well, that is a problem with many Christians, and Christians aren't always a lot of fun either. Some Christians can be really stuffy at times, a quick end to any party with their pasted smiles and pointed fingers, but I'm not sure that's always a problem. Let's look at the word tolerance, for instance. Nobody tolerates everything. I mean, who are we kidding? Indeed, many of the people who accuse Christians of being intolerant are themselves extremely intolerant of Christianity. Christians today get labeled as racist, sexist, and stupid. I've met many atheists who blame Christianity for most of the evil in the world, if not all of it. Christianity, let's face it, is not being tolerated today. And as a Christian, I am not tolerant of beliefs that contradict the Bible. Oh, sure. I tolerate the rights of fellow citizens who disagree with me, fellow citizens who may choose to practice a different religion or who may choose to practice no religion at all. I don't seek laws which force people to become Christians against their will, but I will not pretend to embrace ideas I honestly don't embrace. I will not pretend to accept ideas I honestly don't accept. Neither do I live in a society which even claims to tolerate everything. Are we as an American society tolerant of racism? Are we as an American society tolerant of cold-blooded murder? Are we tolerant of rape? Should slavery as an institution have been tolerated? See how ridiculous it gets, folks? Let's not play games with the word tolerance. Let us instead have meaningful discussions about exactly what should or should not be tolerated, and more importantly, why. And today we will have such a meaningful dialogue on the controversial subject of homosexuality. Is it possible for Christians to tolerate homosexuals as people, to show love and compassion to homosexuals as individuals without embracing the permissive philosophy behind homosexuality? Joining me by phone are two honored guests who have learned to walk this very delicate and sensitive tightrope, Dr. Nancy Haish and Carol Wagstaff. Now, if part of Nancy Haish's name sounds familiar, it's because she is mother to the well-known actress Anne Haish. Needless to say, all family privacy went out the window, and Nancy Haish suddenly felt like she was living inside a giant fishbowl when the media began to talk nonstop about her daughter Anne's lesbian relationship with Ellen DeGeneres. And this was after Nancy discovered that her husband was living a double life, a life that ended due to AIDS complications. But today, Nancy brings hope and compassion to others who have had to shoulder both public and private pain. Nancy spent 15 years in banking, but in the last 13 years, she has earned both a master's and doctor's degree in pastoral counseling and in psychotherapy. She has a private practice today in psychotherapy and specializes in communication and relationship issues with families, couples, and singles. She is also an instructor at Judson College, Indiana Wesleyan University, and Loyola University Chicago. She speaks throughout the country with focus on the family. She's been on the 700 Club, along with many other programs on CNN, Fox News, CBS News, and others. Her new book, The Truth Comes Out, is available in bookstores and on Amazon.com. Nancy, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Bob. What a generous invitation. Thank you.
Well, I very much appreciate you coming. I heard you speak at Skyline Church here in San Diego a few months ago, actually. I was very impressed, and there's so much I want to ask you, but first, let's bring on our second guest, and I know she's also a personal friend of yours,
yes.
Carol Wagstaff. Carol Wagstaff founded Living Stones Ministries in October of 1996 after serving for 10 years on the pastoral team of First Church of the Nazarene, Pasadena, California. Then she answered the call of God to step out on faith and begin a less common, but certainly no less important ministry, a ministry she had empathy towards because of a personal history of homosexuality in the family. Seeking to make sense of her broken family, Carol turned to Scripture for guidance and comfort. God led her to resign her position at the church to follow the specific vision of ministering to families of homosexuals. Living Stone Ministries offers spiritual counseling, support groups, educational and spiritual resources, seminars, and special events. And their mission statement I was very impressed with, and I would like to read it to you. The purpose of Living Stones Ministries is to bridge the gap between those Christians who respond to homosexual men and women with ignorance and fear and those who promote homosexuality as a valid Christ-centered lifestyle. We believe that both extremes fail to convey to the family, friends, and to the struggler the fullness of redemption found in Christ, He who embodies grace, truth, and forgiveness. It is Christ who invites us to partake of Him and empowers us through His Holy Spirit to be conformed to His design and purpose. Carol, thank you for coming on our program today.
You're so welcome, Bob. It's great to be with you.
Well, I'd like to start by having each of you share your stories one after the other. But first, Nancy, if you wouldn't mind indulging me for just a moment, I would like to pay your daughter Anne a compliment because I think she is a phenomenal actress, and I promise I'm not saying that just because I have her mother on the show. Everybody who knows me, and I was a drama major and very critical of movies and the arts, and I write plays and I've taught acting classes. Everybody who knows me has heard me say for years that I think she is an incredible actress. In fact, when I saw Anne Haish in the seldomly discussed but incredible movie Return to Paradise,
yes,
I thought she gave the performance of the century. I thought she should have been nominated for an Academy Award. And you know, the whole thing with Ellen DeGeneres, I remember, had just hit the news. And I remember thinking it was unfortunate that Anne was getting so much attention as Ellen's lover. And it seemed she should have been getting attention for her enormous acting talent alone. So I'm just glad I have an opportunity to tell you that, and please pass that on to her. I think she's phenomenal, and you know, I think people like Meryl Streep are good too, but there are other actresses out there like Anne Haish. Now, Nancy, even before the thing with your daughter Anne broke out, though, you had quite a trauma. You and your husband had been in the church for years, and he took ill, and you knew he was dying, but as I understand it, he was actually dying of AIDS, and you did not realize that.
That's exactly true. We were the perfect Christian family, Bob. And now when I hear people say that, when they start out their story and they say, well, we were the perfect Christian family, I know that means trouble in paradise.
That does kind of sound like last famous words, doesn't it?
It's sad to say. We'd love to. There is no such thing as perfect. So
there is no such thing. Even the Apostle Paul said he hadn't reached perfection. If he hadn't reached it, I think it looks pretty bleak for the rest.
Yes.
I think an honest Christian family is a family that admits that they struggle with sin like everybody else.
Dysfunctional families. Oh, if we could just admit that, oh, yeah, I think we have a little dysfunction going on.
I heard a woman comedian one time at the Comedy Store get up and say, I'm seeing a therapist because I have this little thing called a family. And everybody just busted up because I think they knew exactly what she was talking about.
Yes. So my husband was the church organist, the choir director. We had Bible studies in our home. We had the senior high class. We were very, very active in our church. But we always seemed to have financial problems, and it came to we were kicked out of our house. Our car was repossessed. And so we moved in with friends who said to him, why don't you go to New York and get your act together? We were living on the East Coast at the time, and he was traveling back and forth a lot to New York. And during that year that we were separated, he became more sick. He had been sick and had some ailments here and there, some of the things that now we know are associated with AIDS.
But you did not know that at the time yourself.
Didn't know that at all. And people say to me, how could you not know? People still ask me that. But the truth is, I did not know. I didn't have a clue. This was 25 years ago. We didn't talk about homosexuality in the church. And people still say they don't. When I hear stories all the time, a woman will come up, or kids will come up, or parents will come up and say, we didn't have a clue. So I'm either dumber than I look or something, I don't know. But I didn't have a clue, and I walked into the hospital room. I went up to New York City to take my Series 7 exam. I was going to be a stockbroker, and I walked into the hospital, and the doctor said, well, hasn't anyone told you, Mrs. H., your husband is dying of AIDS? And 25 years ago, the doctors didn't know much about AIDS. Certainly, our family didn't.
Wow. So he was really living this double life, and you just had no clue. Now, how much longer did he live after you were given the news?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Did you get any chance to talk with him about this at all, or were you in so much shock you just didn't know what to do?
No. I was very angry because I knew what that meant. If he were dying of AIDS, then I knew what that meant very quickly, and so I was very angry, and he was in a state of dementia by then, so we never had any conversation.
Oh, so even if you had wanted to talk to him, you would not have been able to at that time?
No.
Well, how overwhelming. So you find this, and I don't think you were dumb at all. I mean, any of us in that position would have, I mean, it sounds like you were just kind of blindsided. You just didn't see this coming. You had no reason to expect such a thing.
No, I didn't. And that's the way most families learn the truth about their children, their parents, their siblings. They are blindsided by the pain, Bob, is what one adult son said to me. I was blindsided by the pain learning about my father.
Now, would you say, and if anything I ask is too personal, just tell me to shut up. I can take it. But
well,
would you say you were happy?
Earlier,
were you
I
happy?
Have no secret.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask, were you happy with your husband before, or did you? I mean, obviously you didn't see this coming, but did you notice that there was any problem in the marriage at all, or did you have reason to believe that you were a happy couple up to that time?
The finances were always a problem, but I loved my husband. The week that he left to live in New York and that we were separated, and I talk about this in my book, sitting on his lap after church, believing him. I believed him. I trusted him that he would be making good decisions for our family, which I also describe in the book is a psychological disorder that we both were suffering from, very delusional, really, and just not living in reality at all.
Wow.
But I did love him, Bob, and my children know that, and I say that I loved him.
And I'll bet he loved you too, but just was struggling with his own demons and just didn't quite know what to do about it.
I do know now that he was struggling, and that was a big step for me, Bob, to be able to say that. Someone said to me early on, he must have been in a lot of pain, and I said, well, I certainly hope so.
Okay.
And now as God has changed my heart and healed my heart, I realize that He had an enormous struggle.
Okay, well, we want to hear about God, how God changed your heart when we return. My very special guest, the mother of Anne Heche, actress Anne Heche, Nancy Heche, along with Carol Wagstaff. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Admit it, to be successful these days, you need a website. And if you don't have one, you'll be like my friend Arnold, who finally switched from a manual to an electric typewriter when everyone else already had a personal computer. And the day I tried to talk him into a website, just listen in.
Forget it, too expensive.
Then how are you going to market your company? People need information.
There's still a device called a telephone.
Telephone? You're talking like Fred Flintstone. How are they going to see your logo, your graphics and pictures, your store?
There's a lovely brochure that we send out.
Have you any idea how much money you spend every year to print these brochures?
Yeah, right. How about the cost of having a website hosted? Not to mention the time, the complicated software, the hiring of a designer.
All of those difficulties are removed when you use Web Studio.
That name sounds familiar.
Web Studio is a website design software. It enables you to create your own pages in minutes without hiring a designer. All you do is use your mouse to drag and drop images and text. Then it saves the pages for you on the internet. The program includes 14 design galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and anything else you need.
I didn't know it could be so easy and quick. Maybe it is time for me to step into the 20th century.
Arnold, it's the 21st century. For information on Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel, and I have two very honored guests today, Nancy Heche and Carol Wagstaff. Nancy, let's continue with you for a few more minutes before we move to Carol's story. So when you found out that your husband had been leading this double life and had actually died of AIDS complications, he had dementia, you said at the time. You couldn't really talk to him about it. Well, you're a counselor now, and so you look back at this, and you know you needed some catharsis. You needed to get your hurt and anger out, and it sounds like you weren't really able to do that.
Absolutely not. I didn't know anything about counseling. I didn't know anything about therapy. I didn't know anybody else dealt with this. I didn't want to talk about it. I kept his secret for 7 years. Our family didn't say anything.
Oh my
about
goodness!
Any.
So you couldn't even, you didn't even feel free to go and turn to other brothers and sisters in Christ and talk to them about it.
I didn't want to talk to them, Bob. And I totally understand that when I hear people say that I'm not ready to talk about it. I'm not ready to come out with the story about our family or even the personal coming out. I understand that it's heartbreaking usually, and it requires a lot of process, and hopefully people are praying about it. I didn't do any of that. I was angry, and I walked away from the Lord. So my book, I hope, is helpful to families, but when people say, well, tell us what you did, tell us what to say to our kids, I say, don't do what I did, because I was just angry and hurt and so baffled and confused. And I describe it really as I lived with fear and anger and confusion around the whole issue of homosexuality and Christianity, and was totally separated from God for a while. Separated myself. He didn't separate himself from me, but I separated myself from
him. Well, Nancy,
him.
I appreciate your honesty very much, and certainly it would have been good if you could have talked to people. But at the same mm-hmm. time, I'm feeling like I don't blame you at all for not doing that. Christians
Thank
can
you.
Say the stupidest things, even when they don't mean to. Putting aside the ones that would have been judgmental about it, sometimes when Christians mean to help and they even have the motive of love, they're not always particularly helpful. It's like Job's three friends at his bedside telling yeah. him that if he was tithing or if Christ was the center of his marriage, maybe he wouldn't be going through this.
Right.
Sometimes we go through trials, and God knows why. Sometimes we don't know why. Even Job never learned at the end of the book why. Mm-hmm. God just said, I'm God, and you're a man, and I don't have to tell you anything. And,
right.
you know, Christians, they mean well, but boy, there are times when we just wish they'd shut up and not say anything. So, yes, you needed to talk. It is unfortunate that you didn't feel the freedom to talk. The church should be a place of sanctuary for all of us where we can just be who we are and struggle with what we're struggling with.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if I do another book, Bob, this first one is really for families, but that would be my next book, would be to talk to churches about how to prepare for ministry with people in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered community. The church wants to do it. The people in the church want to do it, but they often don't know how. And that's a good segue to Carol, actually. She's working on a curriculum right now for families and churches, and she and I have a heart for that.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your story now, Carol. I know that there was something in your family that made you more empathetic to this issue as well.
Well, my story is very similar to Nancy's. I married a guy at a Christian college, and he was going to be a pastor, and I had no idea that he struggled with same-sex attractions. And 8 years into our first job, he was a youth pastor at a church, and he was arrested one night for being caught in a homosexual act with a minor.
Oh, my goodness.
And as opposed to Nancy, I had some suspicions about this and really felt at that point that his response when I asked him if he was involved in a homosexual act, he said, "I wasn't doing anything wrong." And so in my mind, I interpreted that as meaning he wasn't really involved in homosexuality. And it went on for another 6 months at the church where we were serving before they asked him to leave.
You mean he was arrested, but the prosecution didn't stick the charges?
No. Actually, he was let out of jail in the middle of the night, and I think it was through the efforts of the senior pastor and an attorney in the church.
He is very lucky. He could have been put away almost for life for that.
Yeah, that's so true.
And whatever became of him, what's he doing now?
You know, he died of AIDS in 1993.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm very sorry to hear that.
Our story is very similar. When I left that church, I really felt like my life was over. And it was very hard to start again, and I had a number of foolish mistakes that I made in the process. And so part of my effort of doing what I do is to help families to understand what's going on, to have compassion, not to make rash mistakes, and to hang on to their faith in God.
Absolutely. Now, how long was it before you encountered Nancy and started crossing paths with her ministry?
I think it's been a couple years now. Nancy and I first met at a NARTH conference. Are you familiar with NARTH?
It sounds familiar, but why don't you spell that out for everybody?
I think it's the National Association for Reparative Therapists for Homosexuality.
Wow.
And it's an organization that's made up of physicians and psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors that believe that change is possible. They're not a Christian organization. Many of them involved are Christians, but they do excellent work. And Nancy was speaking, and I went to hear her. And we got acquainted that day and just have remained friends since then.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, it is interesting when you say that this organization is not specifically a Christian organization, but includes Christians, because the politically correct talking points today would tell us that it's only Christians who are concerned about homosexuality, and any real thinking secular person would not feel that way.
No, that's not true, Bob. In fact, really, if you look closely at the research, the studies that have been done have not been able to be repeated with the same results. And so the myth that's out there that you're born that way as a homosexual is not true.
That's absolutely not true. In fact, I know there have been many studies, but one of the studies from the American Cancer Institute done by Dean Hammer, I remember that even though he was the head of the study, I remember even in Time magazine, of all places, he said, and I'm quoting him, "We do not seek to negate psychosocial factors." So even he was admitting that it wasn't entirely conclusive. And yet to hear the militant gay community talk today, they would say it's been absolutely proven.
That's so true, Bob. And I think it's because it's easier to believe that you're born that way than to really deal with a lot of the issues that go into comprising homosexuality.
It's true, and I think a lot of times when people get traumatized as children, I think God in his mercy has created our memory in such a way that sometimes these traumatic experiences get put on a back shelf, but the feelings and emotions that came with them remain. So when I meet a gay man or woman that claims that they don't remember a time when they weren't gay, I believe them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe them. I think they're telling the truth. I think they're being honest, but I don't know that they themselves even know the full story. Well, this is very fascinating. Nancy Hache and Carol Wagstaff, please hang with us over the break, and we will continue. Is it possible for Christians to show compassion to homosexuals and their families without embracing the lifestyle? We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. If you wanted a guarantee, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. I'm joined with my very special guests, Nancy Hayes and Kara Wagstaff, two intelligent and extremely compassionate individuals. They're absolutely brilliant. I'm so honored to have both of them. Kara, we were talking about the fact that it's really a myth that the medical community has concluded that people are born homosexual. And isn't it also true that a lot of these studies that they've done on identical twins with males, that even in the best studies, it's only about 1/3 of the identical twins that they've, or I think 2/3, but 1/3 of the identical twins that don't fit that way. And isn't it true that in the case of lesbians, it's just zero and zip in what they've discovered?
Mm-hmm. I have not gone into that greatly, Bob. I do know the studies that I have read that part of the problem has been that they have raised, they have not done the kind of studies where the identical twins were raised in different homes. And so you still have the factors of the home that are involved in that and the culture that surrounds that child. So the studies that I have done or that I have read about, it is true that it, at the most, I think they say 50%, but they've not been done in a way that they can actually tell if those twins were raised in different homes, if those would still be the statistics.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that even if I were a person who had not made up my mind about this, let's say I was just an average American who had taken a disinterest in this from afar and said, well, I don't really know what causes homosexuality. The jury is out. I would think we could at least allow discussion about it. But isn't it becoming increasingly more difficult to even talk about this? Aren't there people that just want to shut down any discussion, even when the discussion is done in an atmosphere of love and tolerance?
It really is, Bob, and I'm not sure. I think there's a real threat from the gay community because they don't want it to be out there that there's a possibility of change. And so there's a sense that if you even say anything or question it, it's just this thought police that come along and say, you're out of order here.
Yeah. In fact, Tammy Bruce, who... is a self-proclaimed lesbian, came out with a book called The New Thought Police, and I think that took an awful lot of courage on her part, absolutely. Well, Nancy, let's return to you for a moment. We talked about what happened with your husband, but then a few years later, the bottom dropped off again, and this time it was about your daughter, Anne. Tell us a little bit about that.
I found out before the rest of the world did, but which I appreciated when Anne called to tell me. She said, it's going to be very public, and so I wanted to call you right away. So I found out from her, and then the rest of the world found out. And as you said at the beginning, I don't have any secrets. It was at that time that I began to talk about my husband, because Anne was talking about him also. And so I didn't deal with it then either. And just as I've heard you and Carol talking about sort of the political issues around it, I think what I've tried to do, and I said I didn't do it well with Anne, and we had a very difficult relationship in those years when she was with Ellen. But what I learned and what I have been learning, which is what I'd like to just talk about for a couple of minutes, is the work that God is doing in my heart. I said I was in this place of fear and anger and confusion, and God has changed my heart and softened my heart to the point where here I am talking as an advocate for individuals in the gay community, and that's a long journey as far as time and the work in my heart to get me to a place of love and respect grace and truth for individuals in the gay community. And what we're all faced with the gay pride parades and things that trouble us, but the thing that I think is important for us, whoever we are and wherever we're dealing with the issue of homosexuality, is that we need to have a heart that is like the heart of Jesus, where he loves these people. These people are created in the image of God. All of us are these people. I don't mean to sound like that. We're created in the image of God, and we are loved by God, and the blood of Jesus covers us, and we are called as believers who are supposed to be known for our love to show love and respect. And God began to change my heart when I took this seriously, began to meet people who were struggling, often struggling silently and secretly with unwanted same-sex attraction. And I didn't know such a thing existed. I thought everybody just did it if they wanted to. I didn't know there were people who were struggling. And that began to soften my heart. And I began to learn some of the causes of male and female homosexuality, which you touched on briefly just with some of the studies. But there are environmental reasons and spiritual reasons and emotional reasons and cultural reasons. It's a very complicated issue. It's not just a simple, oh, they decided to go have a homosexual affair.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Everybody has a completely different story and a completely different biography to their life.
Yes, and when I began to listen to the stories, and that's my passion right now, Bob, is to change the voice of the church toward the individuals in the gay community. And that happens one at a time when we listen to their stories, and my heart was softened and my heart has been changed. I learn about the abuse that many of them suffer. When they were little kids, often at school with their peers, they were ostracized and ridiculed. Some are kicked out of their homes. They have abuse in their own family. I hear that story almost every day of a father who will not speak to his son, and just very, very sad stories in people's homes. And the story that really softens my heart is when I hear how someone has suffered abuse at a church, being asked to leave the church service because they were there with their homosexual partner. I mean, those things have broken my heart, and I think that's part of what Carol and I share together. We know some of the stories, and God uses these stories to soften our heart. And that's what I think it's so important, Bob, for people to hear that. We don't need to go through all the political arguments and all the research. We can do that, but the heart of the matter is, can we show love and respect and grace and truth for people who live differently, make different choices? They may never change, but we are called as Christians to live with the heart of Christ toward people.
Now, just to play the devil's advocate here, because I agree with everything you're saying, but let's say there's a Christian that's listening right now. They're driving along and listening on the radio, and they're saying, well, how do we accept the person without condoning the lifestyle? As I mentioned earlier, that's kind of a delicate tightrope you walk. How do you go about doing that?
People will say to me, well, I want to make sure when I talk to them that they know what I believe. And I say, they know what you believe. You do not have to preach the gospel every time you talk to someone who's homosexual. We do not do that with people who are adulterers or liars or cheats or malicious or envious. We don't bring up their sin every time we talk to them. And so I encourage people to just establish a relationship. We don't have to go in with our guns blazing. We go in with love and interest and care and compassion and wanting to establish a relationship. And hopefully we can share life and the Word of God together and just show love. I think that's exactly what Jesus did. Every time he talked to somebody, he didn't start out, first of all, and say, okay, this is what's wrong, and now can we be friends?
In fact, didn't Jesus get in trouble from the Pharisees by spending too much time with sinners? And Jesus kind of sarcastically responded, well, I'm here to work with the sinners. You righteous people don't need me, saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Right, and when I hear people ask the question that you did, and I'm asked that question all the time, and I know Carol gets it too, well, you know, I want to make sure that we draw a line, that they know what we believe, and that's wrong, and we're right. Oh, that's just not the way to start out a conversation. When I was away from the Lord, so I have some experience. I mean, I wasn't in homosexual relationships, but I was in heterosexual affairs. my friend who really loved me through it all would just say, don't do it, but I'm here for you, and I will love you no matter what.
Well, Nancy, I can hear your compassion now, but I want to hear how your heart changed, because when you talk about the kind of heart you had before, it doesn't seem like the same person, and of course, it probably isn't the same person. Mm-hmm. You're a new person. I want to hear how that heart changed. We'll continue with Nancy Hache and Carol Wagstaff. We'll be right back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, when people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt. For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
Welcome back to News Talk 1170 KCBQ. This is Bob Siegel. I'm joined by Nancy Hache and Carol Wagstaff. Nancy, when I heard you speak in San Diego, you shared a story of when you were on a plane and you finally gave your heart over to God regarding the whole gay issue. It was just a fascinating story. Why don't you tell that to us right now?
Oh, boy, that's one of my favorite stories, and it is a big part of how God changed my heart. And I will say, although it's meeting people and learning some of the causes and learning some of the abuse, all of that has softened my heart and continues to soften my heart and open it up, it's the Word of God that really changes my heart. I have to say that God uses Scripture in my life and has throughout my Christian life to really teach me and change my heart. And so this verse is in Acts 3:26. I was reading in Acts chapter 3, and it's the last verse. And it says, God sent his son Jesus to bless us by turning each of us from our wicked ways. And without going into my whole dissertation about that verse, I looked at it, and what I thought the Holy Spirit was saying to me was, the blessing of God is what turns our lives around, turns us from my way to God's way. And the blessing of God comes to us from God's heart before the foundation of the world. We're taught that in Scripture. And so I looked at that and I thought, well, God blessed me before the foundation of the world, and that's how he changed my heart and moved me from my way to his way. And then I thought, oh, well, I had never blessed Anne in this relationship, in her lesbian relationship, because I thought in my, well, I had a hard heart, for one thing, and also I thought in my Christian lingo that if I would use the word bless her, that would be the same as agreeing with her.
But you realize you could wish her well and wish the best for her without having to be in complete alignment with all of her beliefs.
Well, and that's what I thought. God has already blessed her because he blesses us from before the foundation of the world. So who am I to not bless her? And so in that little plane that I was flying from Boston to Nantucket to visit my grandchildren, and I just confessed my hard heart. I looked at that verse, and I asked God to bless me, to move me out of my own way and my hard-heartedness, and to bless her and to bless her friends. And what happened was that God softened my heart, but it also was they ended their 3.5-year relationship.
Didn't you say she called you like the very next day and told you that her relationship with Ellen DeGeneres had ended?
Or? No, she did not call me the next day. I heard it.
Oh, you heard it from a third party.
I heard it on the beach in Nantucket on Saturday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
And I honestly didn't even put it all together right away, and God had to remind me of what happened. I mean, when I looked back on it, I realized that it didn't sink in right away, but it was so much a crucial part. Again, I will always add quickly when I tell that story that my fear is that it sounds like ooga booga. like, poof, I sent up this magic blessing, and they broke up. But I want to point out what's important is that it was the magic that happened, magic, the mystery, is that God softened my heart so that I could do it. And when God softens our hearts, we're able to give so much more in a relationship.
It's not magic with God. It is a relationship with God. And one of the things I just loved when I first heard you tell this story is you were asking God to change Anne's heart, and then God said to you, you haven't even given me your own heart.
I realized, Bob, this was all about changing my heart. It wasn't about trying to change somebody else. And I emphasize that with families now. This is not about you trying to change your husband or your brother or your sister or your child, your friend. It's about God working in your heart.
Absolutely. Well, these are the kind of airplane stories I like. The heck with these bags of peanuts. Let's just let's get God working. Well, Carol, let's moving back to you. You've told your story about what gave some empathy. Was there a time when your heart was hard and you had kind of an epiphany of your own, like Nancy's?
You know, when I came into this ministry, Bob, I have to confess that I'm not sure my motives were really the best. I thought I really wanted to straighten those homosexuals out. And, you know,
straighten
it was just
them out. No pun intended.
No pun intended, of course. Yeah. I'm going to be straight with you. No pun intended.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just God's grace to me that over the years he's just softened my heart. And, you know, one of the things that was so helpful to me, Bob, was to really think of it this way, that we don't choose our feelings and attractions. And I know that's a big question. Do homosexuals choose to be that way? Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, you know, I don't choose what I'm attracted to. It's a combination of a lot of things that have happened in my life and who I am as a person. So when I began to understand that a homosexual doesn't choose their feelings or of attraction, mm-hmm. they choose their behavior. Those are moral choices. Mm-hmm. But they don't choose their feelings. It was so helpful to me to understand that, mm-hmm. And to look even as a heterosexual, that my choices or my attractions are not something that I consciously choose, but I do choose to act on something.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, Carol, because part of the gospel that we don't emphasize enough as evangelical Christians, it's not just that Jesus came to deliver us from the sin we've committed.
Yes.
He also came to deliver us from sin committed against us. Now, if there are children who were traumatized, maybe physically or sexually abused or emotionally or verbally or abused or whatever it happened to be, and maybe they have forgotten it or maybe they remember it, but it's affected them, and maybe homosexuality is a byproduct. We spend so much time getting hung up on the byproduct that we don't go back to the root, that these were people who were abused. And this is such a message of compassion to the gay community, if the gay community could just accept it. And I don't blame them for putting up the barriers, because I think the church has mistreated them. But the message to the gay community is that God wants to deliver you. If somebody is a lesbian because they've had horrible experiences with men, and I've counseled many lesbians who just told me that. In their case, they said, I do remember. I made a choice. Men are pigs. I made a choice. I was abused. I was raped. And then other people say, well, what's wrong with this wonderful love between two women? Well, it's not that there's something wrong with love between two women. It's that there's something wrong with hating men. But that's understandable if a man has abused you. And we want to deliver people from the effects of sin. That is another side of the cross and the gospel and the message of Jesus that the world is not hearing today.
Mm-hmm. The power of Christ to change their hearts. You know, we talk about, Nancy talks about changing her heart, and God has definitely changed my heart. And it's been because of his love continually pouring into my life and understanding. And it's a process. And the healing for the homosexual is a process.
Do you feel the church has been guilty of kind of isolating and elevating this sin? I mean, when you read books like Romans and Galatians and Corinthians, when you see the lists of sins, yes, homosexuality is on there, but so is pride and gossip and slander and disobedience to parents.
Yeah.
And it seems we've developed this hierarchy of sins in the church. And so I don't blame homosexuals for wanting to go out and have nothing to do with Christianity.
That's right. Well, you know, Bob, in 1 Corinthians 6:11, too, it says, you know, it names all the sins that you're talking about, including homosexuality, but it goes on to say, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and so on in the blood of Christ. And right there in Scripture, it talks about the possibility of change. because God can change our lives and our hearts.
Now, that's where it could get a little sticky with some people, because I know there have been situations where whenever a person is struggling with anything in the church, Christians want to rush over like puppy dogs and lay hands on them and quickly fix them. Yeah. But isn't it true that one can repent of a homosexual lifestyle and still feel homosexual tendencies? I mean, maybe they can be healed of those too, but that doesn't always happen, because the sins that any of us struggle with, isn't it true that we may be struggling with them for the rest of our lives?
Absolutely, Bob. That's so true.
Okay, hold on again over the break, and we'll be back for our last segment with my special guests, Nancy Hayes and Carol Wagstaff. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
I'd like to remind everybody that the Bob Siegel has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. My good friend George Runyon hosts City Voice. It's on every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30. And each week on this provocative program, George interviews a different Christian minister. But I'm joined today by Nancy Hayes and Carol Wagstaff. Nancy and Carol, we're down to our last segment. And on a topic like this, there's never enough time. We'll be right in the middle of something when we have to quickly depart. So I have some more questions for both of you. But ahead of time, let me right now thank both of you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules. You're absolutely wonderful people. You do incredible work. And just God bless you for coming on our show. I hope you'll come on again sometime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, this is something that I'll throw this out to whichever one of you wants to respond, or both of you. This is something that I know I've struggled with, and other Christians have struggled with too, because on the one hand, when I'm talking to homosexuals as individuals, when some have come to me as a pastor for counseling, or I just discover a friend is gay, I do feel a great deal of compassion for their struggle. On the other hand, when it gets political, and I know that the politics isn't what your ministries are all about, when the militant gay community comes along and they seem to have, and some will shamelessly admit, that they have this agenda to make it against the law to say that homosexuality is wrong, there's an anger, perhaps a righteous anger, toward the militant gay movement, and yet I don't think they're really representing even 99% of the gay community. For me, I've had to kind of compartmentalize that a little bit and say there are some battles that, which we may need to fight, or we will have our rights taken away from us as individuals. But on the other hand, that doesn't say anything about most people who are gay. I'm interested in how the two of you feel about that.
Carol?
You know, what I have seen, Bob, through my years in ministry here is that if those issues are not addressed early on in a person's life, let's say I've had families call me and a mother call me and say, you know, my son came to me when he was 15 or 14 and told me he had a problem, and we went to the church, and the church didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to get help for him, and so on. Now he's 24, and he's in relationship with another man, and why wasn't the church there for me when I needed help? Mm-hmm. And what I see over the years is that if it isn't addressed in those formative years, then the attraction becomes solidified, and then they begin to act homosexually. And then what happens after a while, because it's not homosexual relationships usually do not last long. I think there's been a study of gay male relationships, Bob, that said after 5 years, virtually 100% of the men were unfaithful. Now, some of them still remain living together. But what happens is sometimes that sex becomes the addiction, and then there's a lot of promiscuity and numbers, you know, huge numbers of relationships and so on like that. And I think the heart continues to become hard. And there's a real self-hatred, I think, that comes in here, and a real anger, because there's a sense of being locked into this now. And so that anger is really pointed towards the Christian community lots of times.
And very understandably so.
So it's, to me, it's like there's just various points in which if we as a church could understand this and help people while there was still time before they get into these relationships and get into, it's almost, people that get into it find it very hard to get out.
So the church is doing too little too late, you think?
It seems like that.
Yeah, and I also think that back in the late 60s, early 70s, when gay people were first coming out of the closet and being more open, if the church had not isolated it as a sin unto itself,
right,
and had just said, well, look, we all struggle with sin here, I think gay people would have accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
now what's happened is we've made them so defensive, they don't even want to admit that it's a sin, and so they're doing themselves a disservice because that's robbing them from getting the healing and the nurturing and the therapy that they could possibly get.
And there's a very well-developed gay culture now, so they can almost, you know, live in, within that framework without ever having to be involved in the heterosexual culture.
Sure, because they get all the affirmation there that they mm-hmm. need. And I also think that Christians are guilty of some false theologies with this. Putting aside mm-hmm. the fact that we're tactless with correct theology, mm-hmm. there are many Christians that have talked about AIDS being God's judgment on homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Now, homosexuality may be one of the things that causes AIDS, but we don't know what God's judgment is mm-hmm. and what God's judgment is. What a tactlessly stupid thing for people to be
mm-hmm.
saying.
Mm-hmm.
Missionary and good minister for this cause. You have great wisdom and empathy, and it's great to hear the things that you're saying.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that. Like I said, I'll fight the political battles because I'll fight for free speech, even if
yes.
the gay community is getting in our face. But I don't believe the gay militant activists are speaking for most gay people. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I think most gay people just want to be left alone mm-hmm. and want to be loved and just have the same needs as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And because as a pastor, I at times had people in the church confide in me and confess their gay tendencies, even though they'd never given into them. I mean, there'd be times we'd all be out at Denny's after some meeting or something, and some Christian would make this tactless comment about homosexuals, mm-hmm. and I would happen to know who was sitting at the table listening to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that these people didn't mean to come across as mean-spirited, but they just didn't know. But the things we say in our ignorance, it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, down to our last couple of minutes, let me give each of you a chance to say something that perhaps I didn't ask you, or just some final words to our listening audience, just something to leave them with. Let's go back to Nancy for that first.
I think one thing, and maybe you were going to just mention it, Bob, but the Exodus International Conference is in California, in your neighborhood, the last week of June.
Oh, it is.
27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. And if there are families or church pastors who are listening and are saying, yes, I need help, where can I go? This is the creme de la creme of the speakers and people who are there. There will be 1,000 people or more, some who are struggling, some who are solidly in the gay scene, families who are wanting to get information. Carol and I will both be teaching there. There's great worship, there's great speakers and teaching, and anyone who would like to get some help or information so they don't think they're alone, this would be a wonderful opportunity. It's a once in a lifetime, maybe once in a year, certainly, opportunity.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, in fact, Exodus does wonderful ministry. And while we're on the subject of promotion, could each of you give out your websites for people? Because I want people to have an opportunity to contact either one of you or at least your organizations.
I do not have a website. People who have my book can contact Regal Publishers, and they send me letters from people all the time. So that's the best place.
Okay, and that book, again, is The Truth Comes Out by Nancy Hache, available at your bookstores and mm-hmm. Amazon.com. Well, Carol, I know you have a website because I surfed the Internet and found the cotton-picking thing.
It is www.livingstones, plural, ministry singular.org, and we just would love to help anyone who has a need.
That's terrific. Well, I got to say, Nancy, bless you for not having a website. I have a website, and I use the Internet all the time because I have to, but I hate the Internet. I'm sick of the Internet. I'm tired of the Internet. Sometimes I admire the Amish. I could never live like an Amish person, but I'm glad there's people like that out there with the horses and buggies. It just makes me feel secure
in some way. The Internet is wonderful for our ministries, though. I think even though I don't have a website, I email every day practically from mothers, fathers, kids, siblings, if I've met them at a conference or something, and we maintain contact over the through email, and I'm so thankful for it, Bob. And then I hear you have some good advertisement for a website, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, these are our supporters supporting the radio show, so of course I'm going to say good things about them during the commercial. No, I use my website all the time. It's very valuable to this program because many people follow my program around the country, and we're doing that because of the internet. But it's kind of a double-edged sword because for every good website, there's all kinds of anti-Christian websites out there where I meet atheists who think they know all these things about Jesus not really existing, that they're learning from 10 minutes on the internet and they've never read a book about it. So I do miss libraries. I do all my research on the internet, but I miss the days when I went to libraries and hunted for books like treasure. So yes, it is important, and there's wonderful things about the internet. It can be a double-edged sword at times.
Wow. And I hear you too, Bob. In this ministry, I think I spend the majority of my time on a computer and mm-hmm. responding to the internet. So mm-hmm. it's a wonderful tool, and I'm glad to get away from it.
Well, I feel that way about cell phones too. I wouldn't go anywhere without my cell phone, but boy, they're obnoxious, intrusive devices. They used to just ring. Now they play colorful little jingles. I remember getting back to the subject at hand. A number of years ago, and this was just a real heart-wrenching experience for me, a friend of a friend knew somebody that was dying of AIDS. This was a young man in his 20s, and I went and talked to him, and because he was dying, he was just open to hearing anything. It was like, mm-hmm. you just tell me what God wants me to do, I'll do it, I'll repent. And he was surprised when I didn't come down hard on him, but I remember he was under the impression that he was suffering with AIDS because God was judging him. Mm-hmm. And I had to say, look, you need to understand the Bible teaches that Jesus was already judged for all of your sins.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you did get AIDS as a result of doing this, but God loves you and God wants to forgive you and God wants to accept you. And he turned to me and he said, if I die, will you perform my funeral for me? It was just one of the most heart-wrenching experiences. Ladies, we are out of time. Please come on again. You're both fantastic.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay, God bless both of you. We'll be back next week, everybody. You are always welcome. Your questions are welcome, too.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant?